arrived, and so do they have any opening comments?
Good morning, welcome.
Good morning, welcome.
Okay, and so I think we're ready to begin.
Move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Oh, I would just note on the items in consent that the record should reflect one correction. CSW3, the paperwork is correct in the order, but in the motion it describes Dickinson as in Williams County. That should be amended to read Stark.
Okay. Any other corrections that anybody's noted?
Are they still on mountain time?
For now.
For now, I think. All right, SW1 has been withdrawn. We're studying that further before we move forward with that item. And SW2, I move the commission approve Montana Dakota Utility Company's request for a waiver of Section 2 of its Rate 57 tariff and approve the out-of-cycle margin sharing adjustment, case number PU07577. Now, Montana Dakota Utilities has requested to change its off-system sales margin sharing adjustment beginning September 1st of 2007. As provided for in Commission Order Case Number PU3990-3296, the margin adjustment is normally adjusted annually beginning April 1st of each year to facilitate the sharing of off-system sales margins with customers, 85% going to customers and 15% going to MDU. MDU's current rate structure assumes that North Dakota ratepayers' share of margins is $6.5 million per year. The annual margin adjustment provides for a customer charge or a customer credit on a per kilowatt hour basis to account for any difference between actual margins earned and the $6.5 million base level. Because of the expiration of the AVS purchase power agreement on October 31st of 2006, MDU no longer has the same level of energy to sell on the open market and will fall well short of that base amount. Therefore, the news today is that MDU customers are going to have an out-of-cycle rate increase on this. A normal residential customer using 750 kilowatt hours per month, that customer's bill will increase by 52 cents a month. I passed out a sheet that shows the historical summary of the filings that have occurred. And you'll see that in 2004, customers had a credit of 60 cents a month. In 2005, customers had a credit of $1.12 a month. Starting in 2006, customers had a cost of 52 cents a month. And now through June of 2007 of this year, customers will be having a cost of $1.05 a month. That's an increase of 52 cents or 53 cents from the last credit adjustment that was made in May of this year. So this is a direct result, as I said, of MDU not having as much off-system sales margins because of the ceasing of their contract with Basin for a portion of their energy. Everything seems to be in order, and I recommend approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. SW3, I move the commission authorize procurement of construction services for 2007 maintenance projects using competitive sealed bidding procedures with solicitation by mail to qualified bidders for abandoned mine sites in western North Dakota.
Second.
Now, in the fall of each year, we take a look at AML maintenance projects. These are many times voids that have opened up, sinkholes that have opened up, et cetera. And we take a look at these in the fall to determine what monies we have available still left after our regular contracts are issued and are taken care of in the summer months. AML Division is planning several small projects for the fall of 2007. These include high wall elimination and other reclamation work at a small surface mine south of New England, exploratory drilling to locate possible underground mine workings at or near Beulah and along Highway 200 east of Underwood, and underground mine sinkhole filling at sites near Beulah, Hanks, Noonan, and Sawyer. And we plan to issue four separate contracts for this work. And so this is just a step in authorizing procurement of those projects so they can start to move forward.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Now we have the fuel cost adjustments, which the commission does not vote on, but which we announce each month. The first one is Otter Tail Corporation's August 2007 fuel cost adjustment. As a result of this change, the electric bill for an Otter Tail residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will decrease by $2.63 for bills rendered in the month of August. And the cost of electricity for that customer is, the cost of fuel for that customer will be 3.29 cents per kilowatt hour. That's good news for Otter Tail customers. The one for Montana Dakota Utilities. As a result of this change, the electric bill for a typical MDU residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will decrease by 15 cents for bills rendered in the month of August. The cost of fuel for MDU customers is 2.104 cents per kilowatt hour this month. And for Northern States Power Company, as a result of the change this month, the electric bill for a typical NSP customer, residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours, will increase by 79 cents for bills rendered in the month of August. And the cost of their fuel is just over 3 cents per kilowatt hour. And that is the items in my portfolio. And next we'll go to Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I have what appears to be a lot of heavy lifting, but it's not all that bad once we get into it. The first couple of items relate to Enbridge Pipeline Project, KC1. I move the commission adopt the first amended order granting the pipeline route deviation near Cultural Resource Site 32W184 and approving the tree and shrub specification, case number PU06330, Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC's 10-inch crude petroleum pipeline in Williams County, North Dakota.
Second.
Now, you might recall that, I guess it was about a year ago, and actually last September, when we issued a corridor certificate and a route permit for this 52-mile 10-inch pipeline between Trenton Station and Beaver Lodge Station to beef up that loop for Enbridge Pipelines. While doing that, there was kind of an odd deviation around what was thought to be a cultural resource site. For the most part, the 10-inch pipe parallels an existing 8-inch pipe, which I'll get more into in probably my next motion. As it turns out, after they've begun the construction and further study, the State Historic Preservation Officer determined that it was not, in fact, a significant cultural site that they were going around. And so the company is asking us for this deviation, to waive this and rather have a more consistent and parallel route, and that seems appropriate. In addition to that, this amended order, as I said, does approve the tree and shrub specification plan that we worked out with the company. They just wanted clarification on what exactly constitutes a tree in North Dakota, and as I said, some noxious weeds in North Dakota are forests. So at any rate, we came to an agreement that the staff did on that, and that's what this amended order addresses.
Well, for example, Russian olive tree is
my favorite noxious.
is listed as a noxious tree,
weed.
And they didn't want to have to replace any, for example, Russian olives and some other tree types. And in this, we're saying that they should replace all trees that are a certain size, and they should replace them not necessarily with the same variety, but with those recommended by the state forester.
I've got a pretty good sized noxious weed in my front yard.
Right, and we've got a lot down. We've got several down here on the Capitol grounds, I was noticing. So a tree is a tree in North Dakota, and we want them replaced.
Yeah, we don't cut them down easily, man. Right. I don't anyway. So anyway, it was a good conclusion, and all that wasn't an argument. We just wanted to have clarity.
Clarification.
Clarification, as did the company.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, goodness. Okay, KC2. I move the commission acknowledge Enbridge Pipelines LLC's letter of intent concerning a reroute in Williams County of approximately 1,600 feet of Enbridge Pipelines LLC's 8-inch crude petroleum pipeline existing in Williams and McKenzie County, North Dakota. Waive the waiting period for filing a siting application. Assess a filing fee of $5,000 and acknowledge the notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing issued August 13th, 2007, case number PU 07600.
Second.
Well, this is somewhat related to the previous motion. Again, last September, we issued the certificate and route permit for the Trenton to Beaver Lodge loop, consisting of the 10-inch pipe, which does, for the most part, as I said, parallel the existing 8-inch pipeline, which was permitted by the commission in 1983. Interestingly, though, that 8-inch pipeline, sometime after it was permitted and built, a school was built nearby. In fact, so nearby that the playground is over the top of the existing 8-inch pipeline, and which reminds me of the cultural difference between the two halves of our state. But at any rate, the new 10-inch line, of course, goes around this elementary school, and the intent of the company to reroute the 8-inch pipeline to parallel the 10-inch pipeline around the school and, of course, then shut off the oil going underneath the playground was discussed at great length during the hearing in Williston last year, and to the point where that reroute is, in fact, addressed in the order for the existing 10-inch pipeline. And so they're in construction now. They're near that area, and they've asked, they've applied for the reroute. And although they did it quite late, and that is of some concern to me, considering again that we discussed it in great detail and included in the order, in fact, that they had to apply for the new route permit and corridor certificate. There is a obviously we have to. Request comments and a request for hearing must be received by September 11th if anybody wants to have a hearing on this reroute. So everything seems to be in order, and I hope we can get to it and get that line moved.
The present pipeline would be is the new pipeline will be 350 feet north of the schoolhouse. The existing pipeline, as Commissioner Kramer indicated, goes under the schoolyard. The school has already agreed to the siting of where the new pipeline will be. Now it's a matter of moving the old pipeline to be adjacent to where the new pipeline will be going.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, a little more routine for a minute here. KC3. I move the commission approve Montana Dakota Utilities Company's propane cost of gas adjustment for September 2007, case number PU07613.
Second.
MDU's increasing its propane cost of gas adjustment by 54.9 cents per decatherm, which will change the cost of gas from 1061 to 1159 per decatherm and will raise the cost of gas in the bill by about 220 compared to last month, and it remains $3.21 lower than September of last year.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, let's get back to pipelines. KC4. I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the applications of Enbridge Pipelines Southern Lights LLC and Enbridge Energy Limited Partnership for waivers of procedures and time schedules and for corridor certificates and route permits authorizing construction of crude petroleum pipelines in Pembina County of North Dakota, case number PU0775 and PU07108.
Second.
In April of this year, Enbridge filed an application, as is usually the case, of course, for two pipelines. One is a 20-inch pipeline, another is a 36-inch pipeline that will be in an existing corridor in northeastern North Dakota. It's roughly 28 miles of Pembina County, runs, you know, kind of kitty corner across that corner of the state, that would deliver petroleum products into the Midwest markets. The first one, which is known as the Southern Lights, is a 20-inch pipeline taking traditional crude to into Minnesota and into Clearbrook, Minnesota, which we're all very familiar with, a place that takes a lot of North Dakota's petroleum. The second one, the 36-inch pipe, which is often referred to as the Alberta Clipper, is a very large, of course, 36 inches is very large. It's designed at this point to move about 450,000 barrels of Alberta oil sands per day. It's got a capacity with more pumps and things in the future to get up to nearly 900,000 barrels per day. That Alberta Clipper would take this Alberta sands deep into the what I call the Midwest markets, perhaps to a gathering station in Wisconsin and then on to refineries from there. So We did receive their letter of intent quite a while ago. We've been kept abreast of it, received the permit application, and what we're doing here is, of course, acknowledging that, and we're setting a hearing date for Tuesday, October 2nd, 2007 at 1:30 at the Cavalier Law Enforcement Center, lower level meeting room, Courthouse Drive in Cavalier, North Dakota.
Now, how many pipelines does this put in this particular corridor?
Funny you should ask. There are five currently there, so this would make it seven. So it is getting to be a crowded corridor. It's a, you know, but at the same time, you know, there's some value, of course, to using existing corridors. But it's enough that it'll be a topic, I'm sure, at the hearing.
So when people are told that when they sign a pipeline easement, that there could be additional pipelines put in the future.
They
should take that seriously.
Yeah, they're right. In fact, I mean, in some respects, that would be encouraged. So, but you're exactly right. It's an important point, and it's certainly an appropriate point given the timing of lots of things going on with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. KC5. I move the commission issue notice of opportunity for hearing and notice of informal hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Great Plains Natural Gas Company's request for waiver approval, case number GS0724.
Second.
This is why Al is in the room. MDU and Great Plains have applied for a waiver of the requirement that gas pipe exposed to the atmosphere be inspected for corrosion or atmospheric corrosion every 3 years. They're proposing to extend the 3-year survey cycle to be every 4 years because that would then correspond with the leak survey, which the leak surveys are every 4 years. Leak surveys are done by a higher technical expertise than are the corrosion surveys. Doing the two at the same time would allow the companies to use those higher technically skilled, I guess, employees to do both. There's also obviously there are other efficiencies that are obvious, I guess, given the timing. So at any rate, what we're doing here today is, of course, acknowledging that, and then we have allowing comments will be open, and the possibility of a hearing, if somebody wants one, to request it by September 18th of 2007. We have the authority. This, of course, is a federal, a CFR issue, and we administer the pipeline safety program through our pipeline safety division. It is a United States Department of Transportation program funded, and we have the authority at the state level to waive some of the procedures and CFRs with the concurrence of the federal government. So that's what this is to consider, and the comment period is open, and anybody requesting a hearing has until September 18th to do so.
And the commission plans to hold an informal hearing on this,
on
even
19th.
If a formal hearing is not held. The federal government, as Commissioner Kramer has said, does have a say in this. And they have approved two of these waivers, one in the state of Minnesota and one in Illinois. But in doing so, they said that the company could do this on a 3-year basis, but not in, I think it was downtown business areas. So we'll be exploring those issues as we move forward with this particular application.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 That's it for my agenda.
All right, and Commissioner Clark, do you have any items on the agenda
nope.
this time? I didn't think so, but I was just asking in case
make
you had something you wanted to talk about here at the last moment. All right.
Cubs update.
Are there any questions?
I for first.
Again, what was the school? Refresh my memory.
What's the name of
it? Garden Valley Elementary.
And that is where?
Well, it's up in Williams County. It's a rural... I think it's in Williams. I'm pretty sure it's in Williams. We could check that out for sure. In fact, we could show you the map. That might be helpful to you as well.
There are just really no issues with this at this point, just moving it away from the school.
Just moving it away from the school, parallel to the existing line. Obviously, the main issue for the pipeline company is the safety, and for all of us, frankly, is the safety of any students, faculty, visitors to the school, as well as risk management, of course. So that's the only real issue. The fact that the construction process for the 10-inch pipeline is going on at this time and is very close to that area has created some urgency in this. They would like an expedited decision so that they can put the reroute in at the same time as they're putting the main one in, and that's why my comments earlier, expressed some disappointment that it took so long to get the application, because this was discussed in great detail last summer at our hearing, and in fact our order reflects that. The order for the 10-inch pipeline reflects that. So I think the company was negligent, frankly, in getting this to us so late. But nonetheless, we've got it now, and we want to try to do our best to accommodate it with the appropriate notification to the communities and the citizens, should they desire a more formal hearing.
It is Williams. Looks like a lot closer to Williston than the other side of it, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's about
8 miles from Williston. There you go.
East.
East?
Mm-hmm.
Only in the oil field were they building new schools in the country in the early 80s.
East of Willis.
It's kind of remarkable.
No, that's west of Montana. That's okay. You have the same problem I do sometimes with left and right.
East of 2 and 85.
One of these days, we're going to find Susan out and off the Matahe Trail.
Where, that's right.
She turned the wrong direction.
Secondly, is that unusual to have? In North Dakota, is it unusual to have 7 pipelines in 1 corridor?
I guess I'm assuming that it probably is. I don't know of any corridors that have 7 oil pipelines.
Head, yes.
It seems unusual. Jerry says it's unusual. And even as usual or unusual as it might be, it may be common in a lot of other oil-producing states. Of course, this is not an oil. None of this carries North Dakota oil, at least not directly. Clearly, it frees up some capacity other places and moves some oil through that's helpful to North Dakota's markets. But Commissioner Wiefald's point about the land leases and things like that, when people sign a long-term lease with a company, they should understand that it may not be a one pipeline deal, and you want to make sure you know all of that. But it's indicative of what's happening, certainly in our country. It's indicative of the tremendous and growing appetite for oil, as well as the high price of it, which makes putting in new pipelines a lot more likely. So,
may make for some happy county commissioners in Sunbury County.
Yes.
Mac Halcro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think isn't it? I mean, they're about $500,000 expenditure expected at least in. One case, and probably like I think $6.5 million or something like that in expenditure, and then I don't know what the taxes are on top of all that, but they're significant investments even for 28 miles.
Anyway, we'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there. We're getting real familiar with Northeast mm-hmm. North Dakota.
And just one more question about the on-cycle margin. Because there's going to be a surcharge to MDU customers, can we assume that that's just indicative of the fact there's more demand for electricity, that's why Basin canceled a contract?
Yes. Yes. Electricity is becoming more expensive, and it's also becoming in shorter supply. I mean, we have plenty of electricity in our region at the present time, but that's why companies are coming to the commission for requests to build additional capacity, is because people are using more electricity all the time, and so Basin needed the electricity for its own customers that it had previously sold to MDU. So MDU needed to go out onto the market and find another source for that electricity.
Folks should also remember that their base rates are kept a little bit, I'll use the word artificially, are kept a little bit artificially lower than they would otherwise be if we didn't have this revenue sharing mechanism. So it, although it appears as a sort of surcharge adjustment, it's really a recognition of the fact that their base rates are lower than they would have otherwise been if we didn't have this type of mechanism in place that helps account for a volatile market.
It is an interesting situation, though, Dave, and your point about it being indicative of what's happening in our area is very true. You are seeing a growing demand for what once was an excessive amount of electricity, which is less and less excessive and more needed. And so the mechanism put in place a few years ago by the commission to have this sharing, of course, of revenue, is also a sharing of the risk. And so our vertically integrated utilities, when they have excess power, it's probably obviously it's a much safer risk than it is when there's not so much excess, if you will. But all in all, it's why we're having longer meetings all the time.
I was going to say this is a different conversation than it would have been had 10 years ago.
Oh, yes. Boy.
When Basin was out actually selling its power.
Yes.
Yes. Ramping down power plants and everything, and here we are trying to build new ones. Pretty interesting.
Okay. Thank you
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Thanks.
The commission will close this portion of its meeting at this time. We'll be back in, let's say, at 25 minutes to 11. We're going to do some signing of the orders now, and then we will restart our meeting, our admin meeting, at 25 minutes to 11. Thank you.